Welcome to Slayer Fest 98. I'm Ian Carlos Crawford.
And I'm Zachary Patton Garcia.
And I'm Ashley Hullett.
And today we're here to discuss episode 2 of the Audible drama Slayers. But before we get into it, I have a little promo. This Halloween, October 29th, we have our next Slayer Fest 98 live show. Ashley will be there. It is going to be a live reading of the Buffy season 4 Halloween episode, Fear Itself, but with audience participation and a choose your own adventure aspect. We have Ryan Houlihan, who will be performing a couple of drag numbers, maybe Brett White as well. We have Ivy LaBelle, Liv Kaufman, Joe Carollo, and Gabe Gonzalez and Nick G, who are all Slayer Fest 98 family members partaking. There are deluxe tickets that come with a pin and a sticker, and you can get tickets at the door, get them in advance at Eventbrite. Also, I got to plug our Patreon. You can get access to all of our bonus content over there. Zach and I used to do My Nudie Judy. That is over there. It was a sex talk show. We've covered Harley Quinn and Firefly. We are currently covering Buffy Season 3 for the 25th anniversary, Batman the Animated Series, and X-Men the Animated Series. And you get access to our watch-alongs, our Discord server, and more. And any and all support is much appreciated. Ashley, tell us what you thought of when this was announced, this Audible drama, versus listening to it when you finally got to listen to it.
Well, obviously when it was announced, I was like, hell yeah, like finally. I feel like this is such a creative way to continue the story because it takes the entire physical aspect out of it. So I was so stoked. I knew it was going to be good. I've been listening to it now. I've listened to the first two. I didn't go any further than this one. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm really intrigued and I'm just really excited to keep listening to it and see where it goes.
Yeah.
We had about the same reaction. We talked about this in the last episode. We had about the same reaction as you did. It's just, isn't it just so nice to have something new? Like, we were talking about this being Slayer Fest 98's first new piece of Buffy content, like, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's, I don't know, it's so exciting to be able to say that, right? Like,
yeah, and to have everybody back and to, like, hear all their voices.
Yes.
Also exciting.
And I hope this just leads into something bigger. And so, Amber Benson, if you're listening, once again, I want an animated series. Take it to HBO, Hulu, however you need to do it. An adult animated series a la Harley Quinn. Bring all the voice people back. Sarah, you don't have to do no backflips, no stunts. Just bring your beautiful voice and come on, guys. Bring us the Buffy animated series.
That would be great.
There you go. Zach's got it. I feel like most people were pretty excited. Like, when I posted about this on Slayer Fest 98's Instagram, hilariously, there were like four people like, what, you're doing this? I'm like, no. I wish.
It does seem like something you would try to put together, yes.
I mean, it's not. But like, everyone seemed pretty excited. There were maybe like a handful of people that were a little negative, but everyone in general seemed pretty psyched for it. And I think, Zach, you've kind of like nailed it. It's just like, we're also like, this show is so beloved and has such a fandom that we've been thirsty for anything new, right? Like, and the books are fun. Like, you know, Kirsten wrote the really good duology, and there's been a bunch more that have come out recently. But like, you know, you can't, this is like, you're hearing the actors in their characters, and that just is like so different, right?
Yeah.
It really pulls you into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a universe and a franchise that is very underutilized. They set us up for such world building that didn't even need to involve Buffy over the years, right? There were supposed to be many other different projects, a Ripper project, a Spike project, a potential project. Like, they could have gone in any direction. So for this franchise to have sat basically dormant for the last 20 years is a crime against humanity. And I thank the people working on the comics and the books for trying to give us some morsel of something. But yes. Disney, come on, y'all. Y'all got the IP. Come on, give us something. and Josh, just stay at home. Just stay home.
Yeah.
collect a check.
Yeah. Ashley, what'd you think of this second episode?
I liked it a lot. I should also just say, like, how, I guess, since I didn't really go into it, how I felt about, like, Indira. Mm-hmm. I like her a lot. I love her spunk, and I love that she's, like a fangirl, a Slayer fangirl.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what, like, 15-year-old Ashley would be like if she got called. Like, it's very, like, endearing. yeah, I really like the second episode. I like the momentum we got with it. Because, you know, the first episode was a lot of just like exposition and world building. And so getting, you know, to move forward with it a little bit was nice. And getting like dark Terra is fun.
Yeah. That's true. I do think, because, you know, first episode's a first episode, right? You have to put all the chess pieces in place. But I do think this second episode picked up momentum. Yeah, Zach, what did you feel about in
general? I think it picked up momentum. It, like, you know, continued us on our story. I did really like it. The Dark Terra thing, I don't think I've landed anywhere with Dark Terra yet. I don't know if I'm fully sold yet. I feel like Dark Terra is something, is a character that I fully need a visual for. I need to see what that looks like. I need to see what she's wearing, what the hair looks like. Because it's just not, it doesn't, if it's like sweet, it's sweet evil, but it's not like, I don't know. I don't think she's like going to like take out the world. But like, we do get hints of, you know, through these episodes that even Dark Terra is not as evil as maybe Dark Drusilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Dark Willow. Yeah. Dark Willow was ready to fuck shit up within two episodes or less. Right. Like, I think Terra's going to take none. So.
I did like the momentum here, and I also liked that Spike, I hope it's moving forward, he gives recaps at the beginning of every episode, so I thought that was like kind of cute.
Yeah.
But so, okay, we start this episode, you know, he talks about Drusilla, him and Cordelia talking about, well, him and the gang talking about Drusilla. This is when she's telling him that's why she's there. She needs him to get Drusilla. And he says, like, love's a drug, mate, and I have an addiction. Him and Drusilla.
They bring up his exes a lot, don't they? Buffy, Drusilla. Ooh. Like, let this man live, okay? It's just him and Clem having fun, going out and, you know, hitting another vampire babes.
And I like this little Scooby gang, right?
Yeah.
I think, like, Clem, Spike, Cordy, and Indira make for like a fun little Scooby gang.
And it's a newly built one, right? So it's like, it's a Scooby gang that is kind of, I don't know. It's like, it feels like Buffy again, right? Where like Buffy, we found our Scooby gang. Everybody had to kind of like start gelling together. We didn't just get dropped in and they were already gelled, you know?
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I appreciate that it's like, these are, you know, Spike and Clem were already friends, and sure, that makes sense. And like, Cordy is someone that Spike knows, but this Cordy doesn't really know him, but the vibe is still there, right? Like, it still feels, I don't know. And I do like that Cordelia starts giving them more specifics. Indira's bored with them talking about love, which is me.
I do like with Indira and Spike, I get like major Dawn Spike vibes with their bickering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zach, I think you said that.
You are Ian already. Yes, Ian. Also, I had to ask him if he's still picturing Dawn as a 15-year-old. Because
he said Spike would have watched.
This feels like Dawn and Spike.
I said he would have watched Heartstopper with Dawn, and he was like, well, you know, Dawn isn't a teenager. And I was like, right. But Ashley, as our resident Heartstopper.
That was a throw out specifically to you.
I would love to hear all of Spike's thoughts on Heartstopper.
What do you think Spike watches on TV? Because he used to watch Passions. What do you think he watches nowadays in the age of streaming?
Ashley?
Maybe like Jane the Virgin.
Oh, that's very specific.
I can see him getting super into Jane the Virgin.
I like a full, but like one of them watched Ugly Betty too. One of them was like so into Ugly Betty.
I can see Clem really liking Ugly Betty.
Oh, yes. I could see it. Also, do we think this alternate reality is the one without shrimp?
I was waiting for someone to say that. I was really waiting for, because like they talk about Cordy says she visited other realities. I was like, she's got to say the world without shrimp, but then she didn't, which is fine.
But it could be like a little joke in there. Yeah.
Yes.
Because they did drop a bunny joke at one point.
Yes. So then we learn that, you know, Drusilla's dating a dark witch, which clearly is Terra. I like when Clem's like, the other me must have been so depressed, because she says Spike was dusted, and she's like, there is no other you. Clem is such a nice little addition. Like, it reminds me of why we loved him in season 6, right? Because everyone was depressed and crying every other episode, and he's like, hey, I brought chips. Wanna watch?
Yeah.
He feels like he always could have been part of this group, like one of the main groups that we've seen over the years.
Yeah. Then we learn how like bleak this alternate reality is, right? Cordy says she had to move her mother out of the country and have her change her name to keep her safe, which is smart. You know, it's like, what is it? Season three, when Buffy's like, I'm not leaving. I'm packing a bag for you, Mom. You need to go. Mm-hmm. And she has to like argue with her, but she's like, I can't fight and also protect you. So I like that because that makes sense, right?
So cool too, to just see her dropped into this, the Buffy situation, right?
Yes.
Like what Buffy's, and it's, I understand it's like alternate reality, Cordelia, right? So she's not basically walking in Buffy's shoes, but if she just had like original Cordelia's consciousness and were able to like relate to Buffy on that, they could have, I mean, we had an episode where they were both basically slayers together, and that always felt true. It always rang just really accurate. Yeah.
Yes. And it, you know, it's, Cordy is what, we love Cordy, but she's like what Buffy could have been or whatever, but like they both kind of meet in the middle almost. Mm-hmm. We get all that and we learn that Spike mentions Willow. I did like this. I don't know how you all felt, because I do think that tracks when he says he hasn't trusted her in years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, right? I do think that makes sense, especially after, like, the end of season seven, like,
right.
Exactly. Kicking Buffy out, and, like, she had gone evil the previous year. Like, I would understand why Spike would fucking hate her, right? Or even just, maybe not even hate her, but just, like, be like, eh, I don't really want to.
Yeah, you're not somebody I fuck with. I'm just, yeah, I leave you over there. I do my own thing over here.
And like, you know, if I see my our mutual friend Buffy and you're there, cool, but that's it. Like, we're good.
Right.
And I like Indira. I don't know if you all caught this. When Indira says to Cordy, I can be the faith to your Buffy.
Oh my gosh. Is it Spike?
It's like, I don't know if that's the goal you should really be striving for.
not the greatest comparison. Don't start there.
And so they eventually all agree to go to like this other reality, right? And so Cordy's like, oh, Anya's the one that, like, she mentions that Anya's the one that got him there. I do like Spike being like, oh, she's alive. Like, oh, right. They did have sex. Like, they do have, like, a little bit of a connection.
Yeah.
I, like, always forget that, but I like that. And I like hearing this, you know, he's not gushing. He's not really talking about it, but he's just like, oh, like, you know that he is a little like, okay, good. I'm glad she's
He's kind there. Of perking up a little bit that he's hearing all of these old names he knows.
Yes. Yes. And so then she tries to get back, but she can't get a hold of Anya. And that's because we know she is fighting.
I love her screaming into the air.
Yes.
And knowing that Anya is supposed to be watching from like, did you picture like a crystal ball from the other end? Because we kind of got her like trying to check in on Cordelia earlier.
Yeah.
I really pictured it as like one of those, like, and the Magicians, they have this where it's like Margot's looking into almost like a, it looks like a little, like a, some kind of big vase that has like water and you can like look and see what's going on. That's what I was picturing. Mm-hmm. Like water flowing in Anya's face. And that's what she looks into. But yes, yeah, so we, Ashley, were you worried? Zach and I and Ryan were talking about this in episode one. Were you worried about Anya at the end of that first episode? Cause I was.
Well, yeah, I thought for sure. I was like, oh, God, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Don't bring her back to kill her.
That's just trauma speaking, okay?
Just right, once she's still alive, it's like, all right, that makes sense. Why the fuck would they
have brought her back? Watch what happened with a knife in the back, too, going straight through the front and just, like, slitting her.
But I was just, literally my notes say, good God, thank Christ she's not dead.
And then the dog's not dead either. She's got a nice little pooch that she loves and is obsessed with.
I love that it bites Drusilla.
The dog bites Drusilla, and the dog world hops along with Anya. I'm obsessed with it.
I love that. I love, like, give me this duo. Like, I love Anya as like, oh, I'm not in love with my dog, but then being like one of those like crazy dog moms. Like,
I'm picturing a Pomeranian too.
I pictured like a little white terrier, but yes, a Pomeranian. Oh, now I picture a white terrier. Ashley, did you picture a dog?
I picture it's a yapper, so I pictured my dog. My little have a multi-poo that is like a yapper, and so that's kind of what I pictured. Which, like, a little white dog is pretty much like accurate. Yeah. But also, Drusilla kicks the dog, and if that was me, I would have died because I would have gone absolutely feral, and Drusilla would have killed me.
Yeah. So. Drain all the dark books.
Ashley, I appreciate that. That's me too. Like, well, I would have had to fight her, but I know I would have lost.
Yeah, like I'm definitely gonna die, except for I would have exploded and been like, I guess I'm dying because you just kicked my dog.
Anya's plan was great though, to get out of the situation. Like holy water sprinkling from the sprinklers. Yeah, perfect. And then Drusilla, the queen of the vampires, getting stuck under a table.
Yes. She's like, I will not.
Just and
she's
lie like, down.
Okay, actually, I will.
And I do like the way Anya kind of like confronts Drusilla. Like, Anya knows that she can't like take Drusilla in a fight, but can use her magic to protect herself. Because Anya is smart, right? Like, Anya would know, I can't like fist fight this person and win, but I can use like a trap. Like, and this is such a cool trap that we hadn't seen before that would make sense for them to use. Right?
It would have been visually really like cool to see.
Yeah.
But I love seeing Anya as somebody, and Ryan kind of mentioned this in the last episode, that Anya is very sure of herself here. Whereas like our human Anya was still kind of learning, still a little bit scared, didn't really know what to do without her demon powers and would flee most of the time. Right. Mm-hmm. She would just kind of take off. And this Anya is very confident. Like, I may not be the witch of all witches, but I'm a damn good witch. And snap, here's holy water. Come on, pooch, we're gone. What's the dog's name? It's
Jasper.
Jasper. I love the Twilight reference. Jasper. It has to be.
I forgot that is a name in Twilight. Also, Ashley, did you say you had a cat named Jasper?
I did, yeah.
I love that. I also, we do this twice, which we didn't need to, but I do love... But she's like, get away from my dog, you bitch, which is very, has to be on purpose Ripley from Aliens, right?
Yes, of course.
I wrote down that Anya's favorite word in the series is bitch because she says it a lot.
She does.
I was like, I'm here for this, Anya.
Right. I said that in episode one, Ashley, that I like that they've like made it just slightly more adult, like not like didn't go like balls of the wall, but they've like done that where it's like, yeah, they can curse a little and like. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a little bloodier, but
I love that we're saying slightly more adult, like Buffy wasn't getting fingered in the alley of the Devil Meat Palace.
You know, fair. Like, yeah, that's for kids.
Well, we say bitch now, you know.
That is a very good point, Zach. So then we cut to Drew's lair, and Drusilla has, you know, she's pissed. She asks her gang where the witch is. She kills one of her hench people when she arrives, which I was a little confused what was going on there. But then I was like, oh, right. Drusilla does do that. Like, doesn't she
I did hope for them to be a little darker and a little more serious, like the henchmen and stuff. But they seemed like a little more bumbling, like, you know, than I would have loved.
That's fair. I agree. And she, you know, is asking where the witch is, and we find out that witch is indeed our beloved Tara McClay. And she even says, you're the queen of vampires, I'm the queen of black magic. I will say, I don't know that I'm like 100%, I might be a little with you, Zach, on the like, the double-sided Tara, but I like this pairing. I was kind of like, this kind of tracks. Like, Tara is attracted to, like, powerful women that are maybe on the edge. And, like, sure, make her, like, more of an evil witch. And Drusilla also makes sense as someone who would be, like, bi or pan, right? Like.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, her character being queer. I'm like, yeah. Right. Any vampire.
Old of a vampire, too. Yes, of course. I think the evil Tara sort of dynamic with her like inner conscience or whatever is left of good Tara is something that I need to see visually. I'm having trouble with the switching back and forth, and I can tell when they do it, but just it's just really hard for me to see, I guess. I don't know.
That's fair. I had trouble too. Like, my notes say, wait, what's going on? Tara's good part slipped out? Is that what's happening here? Like, I was a little unsure. And then Drew says to Tara, Drusilla of all people, is like, I wish she would get her under control.
I know. I do like this. I think this is very dark too, right? Where Terra's kind of like locked up. She's kind of like locked up in the tower. I do picture them like Drusilla arriving at her Wicked Witch of the, is it East, West, whatever the hell it is. Wicked Witch, her like castle in the Wizard of Oz movie, like that style, you know, with monkeys like outside and shit like that. And Terra like in this, tower. And Drusilla basically being like, yeah, good Terra, you need to get rid of her because you're annoying me now.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about like how Dark Terra came about? Do you feel like it was, I feel like it was forced. Like maybe Drusilla
a little bit
did something to force her into this.
Yeah.
Like
I can see that. Know. Yes, I can see that because I don't. I mean, like you, Zach, I do need a little bit more because I'm a little like, wait, so did she turn evil? Like, and does she have, like, does this tower have, like, multiple personalities? Like, I'm.
But it started I feel like, after she got punched in the nose by Spike. She was done from that moment.
And then we also learn, we hear them kissing, which
I was crazy. Like, oh, we get a lot of that. That was, it got a really. Not graphic, but you know, it got there. I could visualize that.
Yes,
I could. I was laughing just because all I could see in my head was like them in the booth kissing their hands.
I was thinking about that. I was like, "What are they doing? What is the strategy here? Did they have to figure out?" Like a pair of silicone lips.
I will have you both know that, like, both of your things make. Way more sense. I was like, oh, they probably really kissed. Like, fucking
no. So when you get Amber Benson on here, we'll have a Q&A sheet that we need to just go down and ask her questions. Yes. How did you kiss Amber Benson?
Then we'll sound like creepy straight guys.
But we're not, so it's okay. We pass.
So then we also learn, like, you know, Terra says, I'd never betray Anya if I didn't love you. She was my closest friend from before. And I do like that because I think that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I really did like their friendship. And, you know, they were mostly bonded because they were, like, the girlfriends. They were the others in the group that, like, were brought in. You know, and that immediately made me think of in, I think it's the Yoko Factor, when they're all fighting in season 4, and we cut to Terra and Anya, like, in Giles's bathroom, and they're like, nice tie.
Well, again, like, we left these characters as very young adults who every season had, like, a really big circumstance to go up against. They were all in that was, like, all-encompassing for the entire year for them, basically, right? And I know this is alternate reality, but I can't help but just tie it to our reality. But as these characters get older, they would have formed new bonds with other people outside the group or different bonds with people within their group and lost mm-hmm. other people that they would have had bonds with, right? Like, I don't think, and oh my goodness, I don't have a problem getting shot for this one. Walk outside of my mailbox. I don't think Willow and Terra were endgame. I think Terra was kind of stuck in, like what you said, she kind of went for like the baddies. And, you know, the darker sort of personalities. But I think she, as she had gotten older, as like most of us do, kind of realizes more things about herself. And I would have hoped she would have realized that about herself, that she wants something different. I could see her and Anya figuring themselves out and connecting and bonding over that and becoming really good friends.
Ashley?
I don't know. They're in game for me.
So. It's okay.
I
mean,
I do get, like, I'm not, you know, I get what you're saying. And I do think that Terra and Anya, it just makes sense that they would be friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like this. I want more of their backstory though.
Yes. Because we're getting like,
I have a lot of questions.
We're getting a lot of hints at stuff, but we're not getting like a full picture yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we also know then we learn that like Cordelia was also like part of that. Like Terra and Anya were the best friends, but Cordelia was also their close friend, right? Mm-hmm. And like there's a world in which I could see where it's like maybe they weren't friends until it was like the Slayer needed help from two powerful witches and then they all like became friends that way. Like maybe they weren't like high school besties.
Yeah.
I could see that. But I mean I don't know. I feel like to me Terra and Willow are endgame for the show, but then like when you remember they're like 21 when the show ends. It's like,
their direction, I don't even think it would have been Tara like realizing her power and being like, you know, I deserve better and leaving Willow. I think Willow would have continued to fuck up that relationship. Like in the comics, Willow goes hard with magic, right? She goes hard with magic. She has that sort of like little affair fling thing with the like serpent woman.
Yes.
I think Willow would have hardcore gone into magic and magical beings and had affairs with other like magical beings and other witches. And it just, I don't think Willow would have been into that relationship anymore.
That's fair.
I don't know. That's just always how I've seen it. Cause I think Willow had a lot to explore outside of Sunnydale.
Ashley, when you cut this clip, it's going to be all comments and people screaming.
I know. It's okay. Just hate on me. My handle is AdventureZNB on Twitter.
Yeah.
Keep it on Twitter, though. I don't want to see that shit on Instagram.
So then we cut to Cordia and Spike. Cordelia says that she would have had better luck in the reality where Spike is doing slam poetry every night. I did get a little, like, I don't know, Zach, what did you feel about the back and forth? Like, I didn't like that it took him so long to be convinced.
Where are we at with the them it's explaining things Spike. To Spike, yeah. Right? Yeah, I didn't either. It may, but like I didn't hate it. I didn't. I could still buy it, right? Because he is more like he's kind of resigned to this life because they're in LA, right? He's just kind of resigned to this life that he's accepted for himself in LA, and it's not so much that he doesn't believe it, but more like I don't know. He's got like a more human way of thinking these days, is what it seems like.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and he's like, you know, he's still going to fight these demons, but he's like, it feels like he has more chilled out, right?
Yes. He is a, not quite a shadow of himself, but just about.
And like, you know, even though he doesn't age, that does make sense that, you know, he's been alive so long and he's been in many apocalypses that he'd be more like, oh, God, you know.
I need to figure out what the deal is. But for after the Angel finale, like what happened?
I need
to fill that in for me. I'm like really waiting on that because I really want to know that. And then he would be kind of down, right? Like Buffy didn't take him along. Like Buffy would have figured out he's still alive. And maybe he would have thought Buffy would have taken him along on her adventures and like fighting bad guys. And like, she didn't.
Yeah.
She left him in LA. And so he's like, oh, fuck. Well, what do I do here? You know?
Yes. Yes. And like, I mean, like you said, like I, they were all like 20 with these couples. So like not often is the person you date when you're like 19 or 20.
Yeah, Spike was like a full grown adult, like
right.
Mindset, everything. So with him, it's not him trying to figure out himself, but the rest of them figuring out themselves. And he's like, oh shit. Yeah. You were 21, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess you want to go do other things. You don't want to be friends with him anymore? Buffy, why don't you text me back?
So then Cordy like runs out and Deira goes after her. Cordy's annoyed that it's raining, which is relatable. Spike comes out and he calls, I forget what he says, but he says something where he calls her Cordy and she is like, do not call me that. And we I liked how bleak this was. What did you two think?
It's dark.
Right? Where she's like, oh, Drusilla ripped out my sister's throat.
The master.
The master. Right. She says the master, and I thought, like, she does say the master, and then later we get an explanation about the master. I thought it was like, oh, she's calling Drusilla that. But it is literally the master, because literally they circle back to that at the end.
They want us to picture those first two episodes as Cordelia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like, I don't know, give me more where they're like, oh, and that time she fought a hell god and, you know, like.
Yes, please.
Right? That's all what, I want.
What is like so specifically Buffy from those early seasons that they would have plopped her into? Let me think. There's so much good shit. Like god. Cordelia learning how to drive or.
Or like, you know, being like, oh, remember that time when. I guess, well, would she have fucked Angel? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Where's Angel?
I didn't even think about that.
Remember the mayor turning into a giant snake?
Yeah.
And, oh, goodness. There's just so much good stuff. And this Cordelia from this alternate universe would have still been older than where we left Buffy anyway, like by 10 years at the very least. So Sunnydale didn't go down, so something else must have happened in those adventures, like a whole different direction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would not tire of hearing of them. Each one of the episodes, them dropping a little like revisionist history of like what Cordelia the Vampire Slayer did. Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear like how, like her take on how she got.
Yes.
How yes. she defeated all of the big bads.
And who her, I like, was her watcher Giles, right? That's what I'm curious about too. Right.
God, or was it Wesley?
Like, can you imagine her being like, a rocket launcher? Why didn't I think of that?
I do like that idea. But so, okay, she calls again to Anya, and I'm curious what the class thinks of Anya, the Anyanka here.
Love her. Give me
yeah,
more.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
The voice is a little strange.
I think if any vengeance demon was going to be the first to create her own body, it would be Anyanka. And I hope mm-hmm. the first person she went after was Xander.
Yes, please let that be what Xander's fate was in this reality.
I do like later when Spike mentions Xander, and she's like, I think I went to school with a guy named Xander. He was kind of a dweeb. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how I felt about the Anyanka. The like explanation for it was a little.
Yeah. Why though? What about it? Because I completely disagree, and I really want your thoughts on this.
Because I don't know. I feel like that is a retcon of the canon to me to say like she was possessed. Because, like,
it's not possession.
Right. But that is how they describe it. Right. And then they do make sure to say possession is a simple world. We live in the like world, demon world. But like, I even put like, what is going on here? And she says the human Anya purged me from her flesh and I returned to the thrill, the like hell of my people. And I don't, the like explanation was a little rocky for me.
It was a little rocky, but it kind of made sense in that almost all of these beings have demon in them, right? So like vampires, when you're turned, you have a demon basically that you're sharing your body with. It's kind of how I pictured the division between Anya and Anyanka is that was just her demon side, right? She builds herself a body out of all of this rage and anger, and just that is so powerful that she builds that for herself. And I don't think we need a whole lot of more explanation than that. I thought that was fun. I was sold on that. I'm like, the wedding alone would have built me a nice pretty body.
Yeah, true that. Where I got confused is when she's like, when we merge with a human, we become one being, one soul. So does that mean that vengeance demons have souls?
Right. Mm. Yes. Also that I was thinking too. Like, I feel like I needed maybe a little bit more clear line of like what the like you said, like, do they have soul? Like, what is a vengeance demon if we're making it separate from the person? And I guess you're right, Zach. They do specify that, like, you know, when they go to Pylea, an angel, you know, turns into like a true demon. And like, I don't know, but I don't know. I just, for me, this felt, which I will be fine if this is the end game, this felt like they are going to bring Cordelia, Anya, and Tara into the regular universe.
So yes,
if
that's they do absolutely more of these, a setup. Can, this is right? absolutely mm-hmm. a setup, because there's no other reason to bring back any version of our Anya or Anyanka.
Right. Yes.
Back unless you're going to leave her in, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just bringing her back to save the world, to put on the fucking amulet and
right.
send everybody back to heal, you know?
Yeah, and like, I guess I minded it less once they said she was the first vengeance demon. So I was like, why haven't we heard of this before? And then they do say like, oh, she's the only, like she says she's the first one to do it, because my mind immediately went to Halfrek, and I was like, well, Halfrek got like this really bad death.
Yeah, but I can hear Halfrek still like, you know, in hell going, She's fine. She's having a wonderful time in hell.
She's like, I really needed this break. Thank you. Vacation for
her. So give me 1,000 years. I'll find a body eventually. Okay, you go on. I mean, Anyanka, you go on.
She was counseling high school students. I would need a break too.
And Anyanka's vengeance power was all based out of betrayal and anger, anyway. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that was her whole shtick, was yeah. to. Get revenge against men who do women wrong. So right. She
and Halfrek even teases how like that's Anyanka's thing, but that's not all Vengeance Demon's thing.
Yes, so she could have. This is I buy it. I think there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of like knotted ropes around her and like you know maybe plot holes in there and questions. But even if they didn't answer them, I'm okay with this explanation.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean like you know I say I had a little bit of issue, but like. Just for like while they were talking about it, and then I was fine with it. Like I liked that they had a little bit of a fight. I like when Cordelia's like, "You want to destroy her, and we can cross that bridge later." But mm-hmm. and like Cordy's kind of like, "We need to get this done." And I like that Indira like kicks Anyanka, and then like Spike gets protective, and then Anyanka fucking bites Indira. Like, I really like my notes were like, "Wait, what's she doing? She's biting her."
Gotta do what you gotta do if you're getting two slayers.
It's that Chucky meme that Beza keeps sending.
Isn't Chucky biting like the mom's arm in that?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Fair enough.
It's so silly.
Yeah. So then she, I also like thought they were when like they say his insides are on the outside. I thought that we were being like metaphorical. But they're not, right? His insides are supposed to be like spilling out.
I thought she literally ripped like, his guts out. Yeah, I thought his intestines were just like hanging out.
Yeah.
And then we kind of just like stuff them back in and wait for vampire healing to occur.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, sure, fine. Because that tracks with vampires. So
I love his attitude during that too. And he's like, yep, that hurts. Yep. And she's like, do something. And he's like, I am doing something. I'm bleeding right now. Like, it's very good.
And so we then, so like, and we get the noise too of the intestines, but then we hear the dog barking. And it's Anya who once again does a Ripley reference, but I think it worked really well here. She literally says, get away from her, you bitch. And I just imagine Emma Caulfield being like, I'm reading this exactly the way Sigourney Weaver said it in mm-hmm. Aliens. Mm-hmm. And then like Indira says that literally his intestines are hanging out. And my notes say, where is Clem? Oh, he's waking up, because then they do like, I appreciate
he did get knocked out. Yeah.
I appreciate that Spike makes the joke when he's like, Clem is a new Giles, a bump on the noggin. He's out for the count. Like,
yeah.
Out for the duration was a perfect duration, way yes. of wording it. Like an exact Spike wording.
Anya has used a spell to paralyze Anyanka.
She's like a stone, right? She's like a statue.
Is she
an actual statue or is she just frozen?
Frozen, I think. I imagine it like Dawn.
Yeah, because they said she's paralyzed.
Mm. Yeah, I imagine it like Dawn in same place, same time, yeah. same place.
Like what she was going for was like the like magic ring that's like holding Dark Willow, but what she ended up doing was just completely paralyzing her like Dawn.
Yeah.
Because her magic has chaos in this universe.
I was about to say, and I love that she has chaos magic, because I was like, yes, WandaVision. Like,
yeah.
It was a nice reminder that Emma Caulfield was in WandaVision.
Right.
Oh, we were also let down by that little bit role too.
I know. But also then what do we think about how like Cordelia can sense magic, and like she says slayers from her reality can sense magic? I was like, eh, all right.
I'm like, that makes sense. And that they should have taught them that from the beginning in this universe too. Like that tracks.
Yeah, because Slayer powers were there was a lot of intuition that went on with Slayer power, right? So like, of course, you should be able to sense all magic, demons, you know, you should be able to smell a fucking demon, smell a fucking witch, right?
I mean, yeah, like for a second I was like, what? And then I was like, well, that does make sense.
Because I think of like, is it Buffy versus Dracula in the very beginning when they're training with like the crystals and
Real Me. It's a real me.
Real me.
Because Dawn like pops in and makes her fall.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like that's how they started their Slayer training. Like honing those senses.
That makes sense. So then we get I do like that when they hug, Spike says the two of you hugging. Never imagined that. because like, right. They never, like, the only scene they shared together was like in The Wish and like passing at the prom. Like,
and that's something that they would like, you know, The Wish, Cordelia would feel a type of way about The Wish. Okay. She did die in the new reality that Anyanka sent her to. So
yeah,
had her first death.
And they share an ex. So there's that animosity. Oh, that's true.
Also that's true. And then so he mentions Xander. I didn't fully understand the like Spike helps Clem up and then he like goes flying. Yeah. Thought it was a funny
bit. I like that.
Yeah.
I picture it like Clem being on his back and Spike like just grabbing him by the hand and pulling him up like kind of to his side, but instead of stopping, he just goes into the air.
Yeah.
And like, I pictured him like a full Looney Tunes, like flip into the air, like a fall down, which is so stupid. And I know that's not how they intended it, but you know, but there's something happening with magic, right? Like magic's kind of getting out of whack. And it's probably because mm-hmm. these worlds are bleeding together now.
I was going to say, yes, because is that what we're supposed to assume is like, it's happening because of the like alternate universe? Like,
because that happened with Buffy season 5 is when hell was bleeding into the world. True. You know, there was effects with that. There was that weird like city hall with aliens in it or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah. That we never address again, but suddenly
they're still there. I like to think they're there still. They took up positions of power.
That is true. We did get that before. So we leave. Clem decides to stay there to watch paralyzed Anyanka, which I'm like, is he just going to stand on the street corner?
It also sounds like a bad idea.
Yes. Yeah. She knocked him out in a second before.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that Clem cannot fight.
Right.
He's got his floppy ears. His floppy ears are good.
We don't know how long this spell's going to last. Mm. If magic is already being wonky.
Clem is me and you, Ashley.
No way, because I would be like, you're not leaving me here with this. Nuh-uh.
I know, but what do we do with Anya, too? Hell nah. Like, what do we do with Anyanka? What's the plan of action?
And Ashley with her. That's
it. Anyanka feels like, you know, Winifred Sanderson. She needs the souls of the children of Salem by midnight.
Yeah, she does. Speaking of, then we cut to Tara, and I actually did really like her having a fucking familiar that's a monkey using a keyboard.
It's so fun. Mr. Pickles. And yeah. I fucking love the way Amber Benson says Mr. Pickles.
Yes. I just was like, yeah, give me more of this. I fucking love this. Like, her and the stupid fucking monkey. And I love that the monkey does not actually talk, but she understands the monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's like
the monkey can understand her.
Yes.
And she's spending all of her time not doing evil magic, but teaching this monkey how to play the piano.
Yes. Which is like so silly. Like, why is she teaching
you? It's Tara, bored Tara, locked in a tower.
And, you know, she's talking to her familiar about Anya and Cordelia. And basically, it also is a clever way to get out Tara's thoughts without having to like listen to her inner monologue, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Because again, this is an audio drama. We don't have a narrator. A narrator can't be like, and Tara was thinking. Tara has to say what she's thinking. And I did really like, I don't know. I just thought this was like cute and fun and like fucking sure. I don't know.
It is cute, fun, but like sometimes the dialogue, like I get it though. I get it. So like audio drama, we have to get the explanation in there, but sometimes the dialogue will be a little unnatural. She's like, I'm you, the better parts of you who are still here. I'm like, okay, why would she say that though? But I get it. I get it. I get it. Yes.
Then we cut to Spike's place, which everyone is very surprised is really nice. It's not a crypt.
This is fun. I like it.
I was like trying to, I was having trouble picturing it, but I loved that it was like not a crypt. I liked the idea of Spike just like having a nice apartment, right?
Because mm-hmm. he doesn't have to live in a crypt. He can get a full-size Roku TV. He could get a Keurig. You know, like live with us, Spike. Live with us.
The Keurig gets like clogged with blood.
I like to imagine he has a nice, fluffy L-shaped couch.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, and one of those big like couches.
Like a dark, like navy blue.
Yes. And I like to think that Clem has like a toothbrush over there.
Yeah. And like his own pantry shelf.
He gets some extra snacks for Clem. Like Spike wouldn't say they're for Clem, but Clem knows they're for Clem.
Like there's like a random bag of like meow mix under the sink.
So then they're like, I forget what he says. He says something like Spike says something to Cordelia about his realities. Cordelia was like, you know, she learned the hard way to be a hero, tough, brave, and beautiful. And Cordy's like, am I not all those things? And I do like Indira being the one that's like, they're all like less mature than her friends. Like she's annoyed because they're like bickering.
It started because he was saying that he had to remind himself that Anya wasn't his Anya. And she's like, excuse me, why don't you have to remind yourself that I'm not your Cordelia? Right. She's like, wait a minute. Why are we not getting equal treatment? Like, it's perfect.
It's very Cordelia.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the magic box of it all. Ashley, we talked about this in the first episode. What did you think of the magic box still being there?
No. What? No.
Yeah.
How?
Thank you.
How is it still standing? It would be rubble.
I appreciate that at least added like, oh, that street is like condemned, but like it really would have been rubble, right?
They're trying to act like the magic box was the very like side street of Sunnydale that just so happened.
And it was like on the main street.
Yes.
It's like, and we saw that hole. We saw it. And it was the whole town. There was nothing there.
This is the thing. I don't understand. Okay. I need somebody to answer this question, and I can't be any of y'all. It has to be somebody who writes the books, writes the comics, does this little audio drama series. What is the fascination with having some sort of part of Sunnydale like still there? We all, as Buffy fans, accept the crater. The crater is this looming piece of history that happened, and what are you talking about? Magic box is still there on the side street.
No, it should be a tourist, like the Grand Canyon. Come see the Sunnydale.
Oh, crater. that's actually smart. Like I would be okay if it, like, that's what they did with it.
Well, and they did like cool stuff with it. Again, we talked about this in the last episode in the comics, the first comic, they're flying in a helicopter. They see it. As we go further in the comics, you know, you have people going down into it and excavating it a little bit and finding fucking Amy living down there, or, you know, like you can find things down there. This can still be a set that you can use, right? Like if you want to throw a little bit of something out there, maybe Buffy's mailbox is like sitting there and you can see it or something. But there is no street there that is still existing. We all saw that with the terrible CGI that they put on UPN.
You mean the beautiful CGI. So then there is a knock at the door, and it's a stoner delivery dude who has a message from the former Watcher woman, Santina, the demon he pissed off, Miranda, to say that, like, that she's going for Gwen, who is the hospitalized Slayer that we had heard about in the previous episode. Indira has decided to go to the magic box with Anya. I do like the Scoobies having, like, this version of the Scoobies splitting up because they have a plan. They got shit to do. And I like that Cordelia very much volunteers to go with Spike, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my God.
They better not do nothing with this, though. I'm warning Amber Benson now. Do not miss a Spike Cordelia love plot. I don't want it.
I mean, I don't really want a love plot at all, but
I want them to be just like platonic besties.
Yes. Little flirt.
Like my note for this is just like Spike and Cordelia adventure time. Yes. Like, this is what I want to see, them going on adventures. I want them to keep up the like bantery love hate thing, but I don't want there to be any sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I want now too. Now that you've both said that, yes, same. So Anya and Indira go into Clem's car, and this is where Indira tells Anya how like the rumor was that Spike actually died saving the world, aka Chosen. And I thought this was really cute, and I do hope this is like a plot point. I just loved this interaction when she's like, "Do you think maybe you could like, you know, help my grandpa? He's sick." And I love that Anya says, like, I will try to help him if we survive this.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, flat out. She's not being, like, sassy or anything. She's just like, we make it through this, and I'll try to help you, kid. Like, I like that, right?
Yeah.
And I like that she offered it, too. Like, Indira never actually asked it. She danced around it, you know?
Right, true. Yeah, she doesn't explicitly say.
Yeah, and it was Anya that was like, yeah, okay. I'll do that if we make it.
And it's nice, you know, we really didn't talk about Indira's background in the first episode or this episode yet. That her dad is in, like, the Marines and is gone. Her mom was never around. Her grandpa is, like, sitting in a chair all the time, you know?
Yeah.
She just needs community, and that is kind of the classic Slayer story, right? Potential showing up, needing community, needing, you know, others. They were alone at first. Now they have each other, and here Indira is showing up and is finding a new, like, group, and I love that. I love it.
What a dream for her to be, like, because you know that she says she's, like, on all the subreddits and stuff. Like, that's her way of creating her own community. And then for her to actually be thrown into the actual community that...
But I would be pushing for Buffy's number a little bit. I'm like, hey, I know you have, like, somebody's number that can get in touch with Buffy. Just, like, a little shout out. Does she do cameo? What does she do?
Yeah, cameos.
I get something from Buffy Summers.
Wait, y'all, I want you to know, Zach, like, you describing the, like, perfectness of, like, Indira's Slayer origin... I just, like, shed a few tears because that
is classic, like, Slayer origin. We love it. Yes. We love that sort of thing because it connects us, specifically those who have ever felt othered at any point in our lives, with this character.
Yeah. And, like, it reminds me of what Adam Sass said in our Chosen recording when he was like, you know, the Scoobies were, like, our friends that could come in and out of our lives when we needed them. And, like, that's what Indira needs, right? Like, she does need this, like, group, and this is going to be her Scooby group, at least for now. These are her Scoobies. And I don't know. I really love that. And I like them all taking this, like, 15-year-old girl. We know they're all a lot older than that. They're not, you know, being aged to just 19 anymore. It's like they are older and they're still, like, extending kindness to this girl. They're still like, oh, she's a Slayer. Oh, we understand. Like, Spike's a little annoyed, but he still wants to help her, right?
Yes. And they can help her. Nice. They can place her, you know, like, they have that ability and they know that. And there's no – and you know what? I like Cordelia. Big contrast from Buffy being like, I need all the help I can get. You know, yes. I'm not somebody who just needs to fight alone all the time. Here, come along. You're a Slayer? Yeah. Are you sure? Do you have the card? Do you have the whatever they give you?
They stamp your Subway sandwiches card? Because
come on. Right. Let's go.
And I actually – I like when Anya was telling the story of Cordelia with the master, like, killing her watcher, her best friend, the boy she liked at prom, like – there was a part of me that was like, I don't want Cordelia to, like, have failed this much, but, like, that's always been the point of Buffy, right? Like, what made her special was she did have her Scoobies. And that is why she made it so long. And I get the impression that Cordelia didn't really have Scoobies, right?
Smaller group, but I still think she had, like, two, I think she was a trio. I think she was, I could see her being a trio, like Tara and Anya, maybe.
That's fair, yeah.
But like you said, Ian, I feel like they came later. Like, maybe she didn't have them, like, when the fight with the master and prom and everything was happening. But after that, she was like, okay, I can't do this alone.
Yeah.
You don't think Harmony was a Scooby?
Ooh, I bet they'll say that was her best friend that was, like, killed at prom. Oh, that would make sense.
She didn't come back as a vampire. She died.
Wow. So then they, you know, they head out and we hear police sirens. Cordy and Spike arrive at the hospital. Cordelia says she hates hospitals, which I was like, that has to be a reference to You're Welcome.
It has to be.
Right. Yeah.
Spike says he's thinking of stealing an ambulance.
I love that.
Yeah. I like that. It's just like, there isn't a reason. He's just like, I don't know. I thought it'd be fun. You know?
Like, you asked me what I was thinking about, so I'm telling you, I'm thinking about stealing that ambulance.
And so then I like that she, like, can tell Spike thinks Miranda's hot. And he, what is does he say Slayers are a fly trap? Is that what he says? Like, I know a fly trap when I see one? Because he, like, does say that, like, she's hot.
I believe but, like, it. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Miranda shows up, and I do like that Cordelia says, that's Miranda? Okay, I get it now. Wow, okay, great shoes.
I get it. I was like, yes, give me bisexual Slayer Cordelia, please.
I'm hoping that, like, I'm hoping, like, Miranda is one of those vampires that can easily be turned onto the good side and Spike can just get with Miranda. You know, that would be fun for Spike to go into another vampire-vampire relationship. We don't get a whole lot of vampire-vampire relationships anymore.
We don't. We learned that Esther, the hummingbird demon, every time I say that, I'm like, sure, fine, whatever, ratted them out because they were really mean to her. And the messenger that came to tell Spike about everything was working for Miranda. Mm-hmm. And we end on a cliffhanger. I got to say, I was hyped to be like, oh, yeah, Spike and Cordelia fighting side by side in the next episode. Like, give me that shit. I will love it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. What'd you think of that cliffhanger, Zach?
It was good. This is the problem, though. I've listened to all three side by side that it didn't feel like a cliffhanger. So
fair. Well, now that we're at the end,
I'm designing clothes in my head really quick.
Favorite scene, Ashley?
My favorite scene is going to be that one at the end there with Cordelia and Spike bantering at the hospital. I just really like their dynamic. Again, I just want them to be platonic besties and just like go off and fight demons together. I want it real bad. So
That's fair.
Also, we get the line that we just talked about where Cordelia is like, okay, I get it. And so obviously I was like, okay.
So wait, this is like very random. And I don't think either of you watched the cartoon Big Mouth, right?
No. I watched it.
Have you seen all the seasons, Ashley?
I don't think I saw the last one, but I've seen a good chunk of it.
Okay, so I think the season before the last one, actually, when Tandy Newton plays the one hormone monster, and she looks at, now I'm forgetting all their names, but she looks at the one little girl's dad's driver's license, and she's like, your dad's name is Cyrus Byrus? Okay. That's exactly how Cordelia said, okay, in this scene. And it was so weird that that's what I thought of. I was like, that sounds just like Tandy Newton saying it as a fucking hormone monster in this other like stoner cartoon.
I love the hormone monsters.
Me too. Zach, did I already ask you? No, I forgot.
Favorite scene? No. The fight with Onyanka, though.
Okay.
Love that whole
I think for me it was the Cordy and I think maybe I put Cordy and Spike at the end, but I'm going to go with like when Cordelia, they're all talking at Spike's apartment because I do like the banter.
Yeah.
And I like, she's like, am I not all those things? Like, I like that. Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
All right. I actually didn't think of one either, Zach. What is an outfit you imagined one of them wearing?
I'm sending you guys. Okay. I'm going with Onyanka, right? So I'm going to send you guys in the My Bloody Judy chat. This is the style, right? I see a lot of leather. I see a lot of like ripped pieces and straggly bits. But I picture Onyanka bald. Really like a real like made body that was like seriously made from like dust, like she says, right? Like put together.
You know what vibe this is giving me?
Mm. Scarlet Witch from the end of WandaVision? That's what it's giving me.
No, it's making me think of the Dungeons and Dragons witch.
Oh, I could see that. Something like that. You know what? That actually wouldn't
maybe
be terrible.
Maybe it's like the bald also played a part.
Yeah, something like that. Or like an Assassin's Creed even, you know, like something very bordering on medieval, but with like a modern touch and an outfit just made by magic.
Ooh, I do like that.
Yeah.
Zach, that's good. That's
it's got to have some shine though. Shine, straggly bits, and look like it just came from hell.
Ooh. Nice. I'm into this. Yeah. All right. I've been trying to think of Indira's outfit because I'm trying to think like,
oh, I guess that would be an important one.
I imagine her being very like Gen Z fashion. Mm. So maybe like, but like, you know, Gen Z fashion has kind of been started to go back to like Buffy
like
fashion.
Our fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I really picture her dressed kind of like Buffy in like seasons one or two. But like maybe she has like baggier jeans, but like she's wearing a baby doll top. She has like a cute leather jacket. I don't know. I just like, I pictured maybe some clips in her hair, like something, yes, but like looking like early seasons Buffy, because that is in style now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's also a fangirl, so she would know.
And maybe she couldn't find like leather pants, right? So she just got something with the same sort of color, red. Just like red cargo pants or something.
Corduroy or something.
Yeah, something baggy. I do like the baggy look with like a tighter like whatever you used to top.
baby doll. Yeah, yeah. Yes. That's what like Buffy would wear, like the like doesn't the go all the way tees. Down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause those are like back in style too, right? Like I feel like they
yeah.
were. Mm-hmm. kind of like dressed like Olivia Rodrigo dressed as a vampire slayer.
Yes. And yes. her ear is pierced up too. She did get her yes. ear pierced up.
Yes. So yeah, that's what I was trying to picture. Is like, what would Indira be dressed like? Look at me. I'm a fashion designer.
Ooh, fashion guys.
Ashley, what was an outfit you would picture one of them wearing?
Okay. So I was picturing Dark Terra.
Okay. Yes. I was thinking of going with that, but I couldn't think of anything for it.
I think she would still have a little bit of Terra's style.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with a corset dress, but it's going to be black with like dark purple accents, maybe like some dark purple lace.
Ooh.
But I still think like a floor length.
Yeah.
Corset dress, very busty, a lot of boob going on. I see her maybe with like one, like a side braid, like her hair is super long, but with like a side braid that goes down.
Like with the long hair, like it's not the whole hair, is not the side braid.
No, like, she braids it to one side, you know what okay. I mean? Not two braids, like two pigtail braids, but okay. just one braid. And it's very long, goes like down to her hips.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Very earthy, but dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that made me think of is when Amber Benson, the last time she came on the podcast, she said that like every time she would get into her trailer and she'd see the like, the goddamn dress from Once More with Feeling, because they had to do pickup scenes and she would have to be zipped into that corset again. And like, I imagine
no
that
joke.
I imagine that being like not fun to be like sucked into, right?
Yeah.
I have one corset dress.
Oof.
And it's an experience to be in it, but I do love it.
I mean, I'm
y'all
sure
will probably
great.
See it at the live show. So
yes. I'll send you a picture, Zach. And what grade do we give this episode, Zach?
I'd say the same, but a solid A.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Ashley?
I gave it a B+ because I still have a lot of questions, and I think that it's going to get better. So yeah. I'm going to keep it a little bit lower because I think I'm going to dip into the A's as I go along.
Mm. Yeah, Zach, we probably fucked ourselves because I'm going with an A again, and I feel like...
I'm okay. Whatever. Yeah.
Probably gonna be a consistent A throughout, you know. But that's fine. Thank you both for doing this. This has been so fun. We've only done two episodes, but this has been like a lot of fucking fun to cover. If you like Slayerfest 98, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at SlayerFestX98. If you want to follow me, I'm at IanXCarlos. Ashley, where can everyone find you and your podcast?
You can find me on Instagram at Cause I'm Feeling Fine, or on Twitter at MythTaken314. And
the best Buffy pun name.
And I host a podcast about Heartstopper and the overall Osmanverse, and it's called Why Are We Like This? A Heartstopper Podcast. And you can find us on all socials at Why Are We Cast, and listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
And Zachary, where can everyone find you?
I do a podcast called My Bloody Judy with Ian, and you can search My Bloody Judy for that. It'll pop up. You can also find me at, if you just search Zach Garcia or Adventures of Zach and B, AZB. I also have a Patreon I just started called patreon.com/AZB+. We do reactions, vlogs, a bunch of cool stuff, deleted scenes, little discussion episodes, some after shows. I'm going to be starting to bounce off Heartstopper. I'm going to be starting Heartstopper reactions next week for season 2. So yeah, ooh, fun stuff.
I can't wait for that.
All right, everyone. Well, we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.